Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to Unraveling. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I am so honored to share this space with you today. Unraveling is a sacred space for you to come to when you feel the need to be nurtured, to be inspired, and witnessed in all the beautiful messiness of life. This is a place for honest conversations, real life emotions, and truth telling. The episodes are intended to be soothing and gentle, yet powerful and impactful, weaving the beautiful art of storytelling together with life lessons, practical tools, and a little bit of magic too. The journey of unraveling has many, many layers, and each of us are on our own unique path. My hope is that the words shared today will offer a spark of curiosity and a moment of resonance, as well as supporting you in your own beautiful explorations. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to this episode of Unraveling. I am joined today by a beautiful friend and soul sister, Harriet Holt. Harriet is an artist, a graphic designer, and a creative mentor. Her artwork has been shown in galleries, art fairs, and private collections throughout the UK, Europe, the Middle East, and the US. She heads up a small boutique design studio, Holt & Delice, specializing in branding, content creation, and website build and management. She also runs a one-to-one and group creative mentoring program, helping people to reconnect with their own unique creativity, to go within and explore with gentle curiosity what might be there, and then support them in finding the courage to take small steps. I'm so honored to share this conversation with you and to speak to Harriet today. We have been long-standing friends. Our mothers and our grandmothers, in fact, were best friends. And so there's a real spiritual and family connection, I think, there. But also I have watched Harriet's journey with admiration as she becomes this incredible artist and shares her work. And I am really excited to pick her brains today. So welcome, Harriet.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
So as always, I'm going to start by just pulling us an oracle card just to sow some seeds for our conversation today. So let's see what we've got. It's always interesting how it sometimes weaves into the conversation. Okay, we have water your garden, nourishment, body care, tenderness, and rest. Interesting. Mm.
That sounds good to me.
It sounds really good to me right now. what does that spark for you? Anything?
I think I'm sort of just quite a little bit tired today. I've just bought a new flat. So I'm kind of in the middle of looking at kitchens and bathrooms and meeting builders and ordering the internet and things like that. I have probably been a little bit sort of frazzled in the last few days, and a bit of self-care and probably a long hot bath and maybe a massage would be really good. And actually for me, self-care, it's what I always come back to whenever I'm feeling a bit off or a bit like, well, I'm not quite sure what's wrong. That's always a place that I know that I can go, like, actually, what can I do for myself? Like, what do I need right now? What would feel really good to me right now? And usually I can't go that wrong if I ask myself those questions and then follow the answer.
Yeah, I love that. And when I saw that card, it really reminded me of it actually sparked something around our conversation around creativity and how that for me is nourishment that I feel like I'm lacking a little bit in at the moment. And not that I'm not creative in my work, but more creativity just for creativity's sake. So that kind of spoke to me a little bit from that card.
absolutely. And for me, 100%, my creative journey has been extremely nourishing and in a way, I feel like it sort of brought me back to life, you know. But it's a sort of a fascinating journey where I realize that through what I'm creating, I'm kind of actually giving myself what I really need.
Yeah.
Which I can sort of talk about more as we go on, but I see that more and more as I kind of begin to understand what my work is about, and sort of speak to more people about it and write about it and work with other artists. I can just really, really see that, and it fascinates me, and I see it in other people as well.
Yeah, it's almost like a sense of, like, what came to me when you were saying that was like there can be almost like a starvation of this creativity, and that when you said it brings you back to life, that to me is just like, it feels like that's a missing piece in, certainly for me, but for many people possibly as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I came out of school. I always loved art. It was my favorite subject, and I used to pretty much wish the whole week away for the art class, and I'd have this hour where I'd just feel alive, and then the rest of the week I felt kind of dead again. But yeah, I didn't at the time go on and take it to university. I didn't do a degree in it because I was advised that it wasn't an academic subject. And I think a lot of that goes on, for example, through the educational system and in society in general. And that's sort of a really sad thing. And half of me was kind of missing without that, having come out of that sort of schooling system.
Yeah, I can relate a lot to that. Okay, so I'd love to know, in a nutshell, I know it's probably not something that can be forced into a nutshell, but a little bit about your journey to becoming the creator, the artist that you are today. What's that journey looked like?
I worked in advertising for a long time. I worked in big ad agencies in London. And I mean, actually, that experience, it was very helpful. I can see now, because it's enabled me to have a sort of an understanding of business and an understanding of marketing, which as an artist, to be able to make a living from my work has been extremely, extremely helpful as a sort of backdrop to it. I just begun to notice that I was getting low on energy every day, and I'd sort of end up drinking loads of tea in the afternoon, eating like packets of biscuits to try and sort of get through the day. And I just had this like foggy head, and I couldn't quite like think clearly. And I just sort of realized that I didn't really love what I was doing. And I think when I first started, it was like fun. It was like meeting new people, and it was sort of work hard, play hard. And I kind of didn't really realize that I wasn't quite on the right track for me necessarily. But as time went on, I just, yeah, it was really just that my energy was being drained through what I was doing. And at the same time, I just started reading lots of books, things like The Artist's Way and, some self-help books and some spiritual books. And I just started to sort of realize that there could be another way, and that perhaps I wasn't living my life to the fullest, and that perhaps that this low feeling of energy that I had was because I wasn't sort of expressing myself fully in the ways that are most natural to me. And so I actually the company I was working at, they had a program where when you'd been there for 3 years, you get a month's paid sabbatical, which was incredible, because I don't think really many companies do that anymore. And so I took my month and I went off to India. And actually, at the time, I was terrified of, I mean, I've also suffered from anxiety sort of throughout my life. And at that time, it was quite strong. And the idea of me going to India on my own was something that I kind of couldn't really even imagine doing, because I was so scared of it. But at the same time, something, I just had this kind of calling to go there. And actually, also somebody asked me a question And they said, if you had 6 healthy months to live, what would you do? So if you're going to die in 6 months time and you're healthy that time, what would you do? And the first thing I said was, well, I'd go and do this. I'd go to India and I'd go and do this yoga course. And when I was given that sabbatical, it sort of became obvious from that question what I could do with it, even though I was terrified. So I went off to India for a month, and that kind of just made me realize there's another world out there, and also just gave me space away from this sort of hectic London advertising life to think that there's perhaps other things that I could do. And then I went back again, and I worked for another year, and then I quit and I went back to India for 5 months. And it was in that time that I really started sort of thinking about making art, and I just started remembering what I loved to do at school and who I'd been as a little girl. And so I had that trip, which was incredible. And then I came back, and I actually started by studying art therapy. So I did a year's diploma in art therapy at a place in London called the Institute for Art Therapy of Education. And I thought at the time that I might want to be a therapist, be an art therapist. And through that year, I realized that although I'm fascinated by the therapy and fascinated by people and like the power of the art to sort of work therapeutically with people, I actually found that the therapy side of things and the kind of the theory side a bit heavy. But when we were working with the actual art materials and with the paints and the clay and the music and the poetry, again, I felt that alive feeling. And so I was actually scheduled to do a full master's there, which is 4 years. And I started on the second year, and that feeling of the theory being heavy just kind of it increased. And so at the time it was such a difficult decision, but I made the decision to quit the course and go down to Cornwall. And this was really based on a gut instinct. I just felt this call to go to Cornwall. I didn't know anybody down there. I didn't really know where the hell I was going, but I just kind of knew I had to go. So I packed everything into my car and I drove down there, and I was down there for about 9 months, and I just painted and painted and painted and painted. I lived in a couple of different places, but at the end I was living in this caravan in someone's garden in Cape Cornwall, which is sort of very far west near Land's End. And basically in that time I created a body of work, and then I came back to London and had my first exhibition. And actually pretty much since that point I've been a sort of a professional artist. I worked a little bit at the beginning doing a bit of freelancing, but and pretty much every piece that I've done has sold since that point, even a year before that I really didn't. Although I would have loved to have been an artist, it didn't really seem like a real possibility. That's sort of like in a nutshell the kind of starting point, the start of the journey.
It's amazing. I know the story, but I love hearing it. And there are so many, I think it's quite fascinating that it actually kind of all began with the yoga teacher training, the yoga course, because I think for so many, me included, that's a real catalyst for transformation and change. And it doesn't necessarily often, I think a lot of people go and don't actually become yoga teachers. But it's like it does kind of bring you home to yourself, I think, a little bit, and start. It's not the answer to everything. There's still work to be done, but it is, it does anchor you back to yourself, I think, because you can't really avoid yourself when you're on the map intensively.
Absolutely. I also did a 10-day Vipassana retreat straight after the yoga teacher training, and that was extremely sort of transformative. And I think at the end of that, having been, so you don't say a word for 10 days and you sit, and this was the Indian version of it as well. So you basically sit on a mat for 10 hours a day, cross-legged in silent meditation, and you don't have any books or pens, or you're not allowed eye contact with anyone, or not allowed to speak at all for that period. But at the end of that, I had some real revelations that kind of, yeah, sort of then, also kind of took me up to where I am now.
Yeah, so it's been like a series of different transformative experiences, but all sounds like at the very core of it is you following your intuition.
Absolutely. I think following my intuition, yes, is very important. Following what feels good. What does Harriet want to do right now? What would feel good to Harriet? What would, you know, and also remembering who I was as a little girl, that really has helped too. You know, what did the little Harriet love? What made little Harriet feel good? How did little Harriet feel safe? How did little Harriet love expressing herself? You know, all those things.
Yeah, really powerful questions to consider, I think, when you're in that process of not knowing, because I think I've been in that space and still fall into that place at times of like, what am I actually doing? Why am I doing this? What do I want to do? What really lights me up? And remembering what lit me up as a child is a really powerful way to come back to that. So I really love that, that reflection.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like asking my heart what, you know, or sort of really tuning into my heart, because I feel like I'm very sort of heart led. I mean, I think that I've read various different bits and pieces, and I hear that some people are more kind of gut led and some people more heart led, and I don't know, but I definitely feel things sort of from my heart, and I like the concept of following your heart.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of that, but also I need a lot of silence, so I can ask, and I can, you know, write questions on paper. I can, let's say, have a session with somebody, or a counseling session, something like that, or I can speak to a friend, but I also need to listen. I need to have enough silence and sort of enough space to be able to hear the answers. And that's also been really important.
And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. Me, I've learned that through that, the experience of asking, seeking, trying to get the answer. Like, I know all the questions, I know to journal, I know how to do this, but then not giving it the space. And actually it's only when you sit back, and I think it's just really daunting, isn't it? Because sometimes you don't know how long that space is going to be. It might be months, it might be years, it might be a day. I mean, it could be an hour. I always, it amazes me how every time I give myself even an hour of space, stuff starts to come through.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes it's not always stuff that you necessarily want to hear.
No, there is that.
But the other thing is that I can get a bit lost when I ask too many other people what I should be doing, what they think I should be doing. And what I've learned is that there's certain people that when I speak to them, they help me get closer to myself and my own truth. And those people are really helpful for me to speak to when I'm in a bit of turmoil or when I'm unsure. But if I go out and ask everybody, I'm going to end up very confused. And actually, it can be really dangerous, I think.
Yeah, you can be so swayed by other people's expectations and their thoughts and opinions. So I think knowing that you have someone that is not going to impose their beliefs and their thoughts on you, but will just hold the space and listen. I think it's the listening piece, isn't it?
Listening and sort of maybe observing, like, oh, I noticed that when you say this, that, you know, it sounds like you're, or just someone that just knows you really, really well in that really kind of loving, supportive way, you know. that can kind of reflect back, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Be that mirror that you need.
Mm, yeah.
And how does that play into the creative process? Like this idea of giving it space, allowing, like, how do you, I sort of see creativity as like a, almost like a channeling, like a downloading. When I'm writing, I certainly feel this way in my poetry and my writing. I don't find it as easy to let that happen in painting or drawing or the more, I don't know, what you'd conventionally call art. But I see it very much as this letting things come through. So how do you see it in the same way? What's your...
100%. So I had a moment when I was in Cornwall and I had a lot of sort of serendipitous kind of happenings on when I was in Cornwall. And one of them was that I was being mentored by this artist, very established artist down there. And I was going to her studio every day. And the first time I went, I just thought, wow, this is the most stunning space I've ever seen. It was right on the harbour front, so you see these huge wooden doors open, swing open onto the sea, and it was just absolutely stunning. And I left after that first session, and I said, God, it was just, and I was lying in bed that evening, and I said, God, just imagine if she wrote and said that she's going away somewhere and that I can have the studio space. And I was just sort of, you know, like playing around in my mind. And then a couple of weeks later, I had an email from her and she said, hi, Harriet, this is really out of the blue, but I've just decided to go off to Europe and walk the Camino de Santiago for a month. And I just thought my studio is going to be empty. And do you want it? You don't have to pay me anything. You can just have it.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's pretty amazing and pretty cool. So be careful what you wish for. But I had a moment in her studio and I'd been in there maybe a week and I was sitting there and I was feeling so heavy and so sort of, I suppose you could almost say depressed, like just low, heavy, depressed, and cloudy. And I thought, oh my God, what have I done? I've quit this course. I've quit my job. I've put everything in my car and I've driven down to Cornwall on this sort of whim, you know? And actually all I've produced is just this drivel. It's all just, there's nothing good here. It's all horrible stuff. And like, oh my God, I just felt really stupid. And, you know, I what the hell have I done? And in that moment, it really felt like sort of the lowest point. And I think because I had nowhere to go, I suddenly had this little kind of very faint sort of image that popped into my mind and it kind of hovered. Like sort of about like a meter in front of my head in my mind, but it just felt so light and so easy and so simple, and I could see it very clearly, but it wasn't what any, I'd done a lot of classes and a lot of mentoring and all this kind of stuff, and it just wasn't anything I'd been told was right by the teacher, or you know, I should be doing by this mentor or that mentor or whatever, but it just felt good to me, and I just thought, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to do that. In this moment, that's all that's, I have nowhere else to go. I'm just going to do that. And so I just ripped up some paper and stuck it on the wall and started doing that. And I had 3 weeks where I worked solid. I was in this complete flow. It's probably the most flow state I've ever experienced. And I just worked and worked and worked and produced these paintings. And the first painting I did, I called Turning Point. And that's the first piece I ever sold. And pretty much every piece since then has sold, having never sold a piece in my life before then. But it was that moment of, it was like I was shown it, but it was, I could only sort of be open to it when I was willing to let go of all the rights and wrongs, of everything that I should or shouldn't be doing, of any kind of formula, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, and it was the simplest, lightest thing. There was nothing complicated or difficult or challenging or anything about it. I kind of feel like, and since then, it feels very much like a kind of form of channeling. I just sort of And the channeling can come in at any minute. It could come when I'm standing in front of someone else's painting and I suddenly get this idea, or I'm walking around an exhibition and just looking at a famous artist's work, or I'm reading a book, or I'm having a conversation with a friend, or I'm looking at someone's bookcase and I see a word and that drops into something, and then suddenly I see this image come from there. So it can kind of be triggered in many ways, but yeah, I feel like the more I get out the way and stop sort of telling myself, but you can't do that because you're not supposed to do that this way, or you're not, you know, the more however far-fetched it seems, the more I end up having success with what I do.
I mean, that story is pretty amazing. I mean, all of it. The universe is certainly like pointing you in a very strong direction there, with the studio. And I just love how you know, just had the courage to just go with that image. How did you get from that image to actually taking the action? Because I think a lot of people like almost maybe do get the ideas or that little spark, but then taking it from that to actually bringing it to life, that's where I get stuck in the process, because I suppose that is where like all those obstacles have to be unraveled before you can get there, but the only way to do that is to do it, so
yes, exactly. And that's what I'm such a sort of believer in, just doing it. And you know, it's not always easy, it's not always perfect, it's not always, but if I just do it anyway, then I'm sort of almost getting past myself, you know, I put myself to the side and just do it anyway, because that's sort of, and then from there I kind of learn through the process rather than trying to plan all out or learn it all in my head before actually doing it, which I don't think is really possible.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think like in my I have massive blocks around painting, even though I know that it's something that actually I know my soul is craving it. I know it's something I need to do. However, when it comes to words or anything like that, I completely can follow what you were saying. You know, I don't care. I just let it out, and I don't really have any attachment to it. And I've experienced recently when I was working on a website, from my own website, and I was like, it felt so sticky. I was trying to do stuff and I was getting frustrated and everything looked shit. And I was just like, ugh. And I got to the point where I was just so frustrated and I just put my computer away for the evening. And I was kind of telling myself, like, I was in a way, there was that voice of like, well, you haven't got it right first time, you're failing, like you're not good at this, you might as well, you should just go and pay someone else to do this, you should do all these words, all that chatter. And then the next day I gave it that space. I think I went out for a walk, I kind of forgot about it for a bit. I had some cacao, which always helps spark me, and I sat down, and this completely different vision came to life. I was trying, almost like I Pinterested all these websites I wanted it to look like, and I had to let go of all of that. And then this creation came, and it's like unlike anything I've made before. And I love it, and it's like so different, but I had to go through that sticky, horrible, uncomfortable process and almost let go of what it's supposed to look like to get there. So
absolutely, yeah, 100%. And I've had that experience. I think also the fact you put everything down and went for a walk was probably when you're feeling like that, was probably the best thing that you could have done, because it's just kind of clearing space. And because it's whenever my mind is really like set on something or thinking about something, overthinking it, it's like all I can really do then is stop, put everything down, go into a completely different place, go for a walk, go outside, whatever it is, and then come back to it.
Yeah.
Having had that break and that sort of space.
Yeah. How different is it when you're like, as you become a professional artist and you're charging for your work and it's like your business, how does that pressure change things? Does it, because I imagine I would then get a bit I don't know, maybe it would make me less in the flow, because I would be worried about having to create or having to meet expectations and things. Do you find that has that come up in your journey at all?
Not really, funny enough. I think because my art came from such a deep place within me that feels so true and so real, I feel very confident with it. I feel more confident with that than any other area of my life. but I think it's like that saying, anything you put before yourself, you will lose. And I feel like that with the art, it's the most sort of strong example of my life where I didn't allow anything else to go before it. And I stayed so true to it and so sort of, you know, protected that space that I feel very solid and stable in it. And I have had situations where I've had to do commissions and I someone's given me this very sort of long brief and it kind of, I've struggled to match the brief, but really that's because I'm trying to match their brief and it's sort of stopping my own flow. Mm-hmm. You know, I think more it's that I love selling my work. I think it's really the most amazing feeling in the world that someone actually wants to pay for something that I, you know, created on my studio floor. And that actually, after however many years, that still doesn't wear thin. Mm. But I think I went through a bit of a stage where I so loved selling that I kind of was slightly churning out work, perhaps, you know, because I had this formula that I knew and people wanted it and people were buying it and I was selling just loads and loads of pieces. So I did go into a bit of a slight churn. And now I'm coming back to kind of evolving the work a bit, and I'm a bit, again, not quite sure where I'm going. And as a result, I'm not selling so much because there isn't so much to sell. And I don't have that sort of style that people know, that's what she's doing at the moment. Yes, we want to buy that, you know? Mm. But I also, it's important for me to have this time so that the work does feel like it's evolving in line with how I'm evolving, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sort of staying connected to it and staying true to the process.
Absolutely, yeah, and I guess that's what keeps it alive, isn't it? Is the process of evolving. And I think so often when we find a formula that works, whether that's like in career or, you know, if in my offerings and stuff, it can be really hard to let that go. Then to step into the next version and to let it evolve and let it still be alive. Otherwise we kind of suffocate it and kill it, don't we? We almost like dampen down the energy so it's not actually alive anymore. We have to keep breathing life into it and trust that it's taking us where it needs to go. Which is terrifying at times.
Absolutely. And actually I say that, you know, at the beginning, I had a whole load of doubts about the work, and I I think at the beginning, before I sort of had, you know, knew the kind of work that I, Harriet Holt, do, I had to be very, very careful about who I showed it to. And I really had to, it was like a little sort of bird that you're holding in your hands. Mm. And I had to really protect that bird, that little fledgling bird, because if someone came along and stamped on it, I'd be dead. You know, I was I was so vulnerable at the beginning that I could have easily eradicated the whole thing just by, you know, a negative comment or whatever it may be. So although I say I'm confident in my work now, when I started out, I really had to protect myself very strongly. Mm. Yeah, and I had a little space on my own, and I just showed so few people. I only showed the people that I knew were supportive, because that was all that I could handle.
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing in anything that is sacred to us. To be really discerning with who we share it with and know, like have very protective boundaries, not rigid kind of barriers, but just very, very protective boundaries around the things. I mean, because it is our heart work, isn't it? You know, like it is a piece of us, and actually we need to be protective of those tender parts.
Absolutely.
Carry on.
I also feel, again, coming back to the child thing, it's sort of, for me, it's the little girl in me as well. And what would you do with, you know, if you had a little girl in front of you, what would you do? You'd really look after her and make sure that she's okay and sort of, you know, so yeah, just really sort of doing that.
I love that. So for those people like me that have these resistances, obviously you're now mentoring other artists and other people and their journeys. Like how do you help someone get the confidence to even start? Because, you know, I've said to you before, I have this knowing and this voice that this is, that I need to do this. I need to pick up that paintbrush. I need to start creating art for myself for the sake of it. And I don't know where it's, I think there's a part of me that, because I don't know where it's going to take me, it's like, well, it's not important at the moment. Because it's not to do with business or earning money or anything like that. But at the same time, I know that I need to nurture it, but where do you even start with that?
I mean, I think everybody's so different, and I was mentored for a while by a ceramicist called Sandy Brown, and she was absolutely wonderful for me because she really sort of took me as completely as an individual and sort of saw what was like, just sort of, yeah, saw sort of I wanted to do and what sort of who I was in a very unique way. And I think everybody is so different, and it's really kind of let's say we were doing a session, I just start off by speaking to you and just sort of listening and exploring a few sort of things that you say, you know, and just gently. I think it's about being very, very gentle to start with. And also when I first started painting, I mean for about a year it was a bit like, kind of, you know, when you have a pipe that's been blocked for a long time, and when it first is unblocked, it's like sort of splurges out and like a load of mud shoots out, and it's sort of like that,
yeah,
before the water runs clear. That's what happened to me at the beginning. I had all sorts of different random horrible bits of paper with messes of paint all over them, and you know, and that has to be allowed. It has to be allowed. And that's why I think it's helpful. I mean, you know, having Sandy Brown at that stage was, it just gave me the inner kind of belief to keep going, even when there was no outer evidence whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it does help to have someone to sort of, I mean, it doesn't have to be like a professional mentor, but somebody that can really, because it's very easy to give up very early on because it doesn't look good. It's all crap, you know, it's horrible, because it might look horrible, but all that horrible stuff is so important. And I still remember those very first pieces I did, and they still sort of speak to me, and they still feed into my process. So had I just like eradicated them, whatever, like I'd be missing a very important part of the jigsaw.
Yeah. So, I mean, I often hear that phrase, like, make shitty art, like that's part of the process.
Yeah, it is. But I think it's about like, it's sort of about trying to cut everything. So actually, what do I want to do? What would I just love to do? What would I love to do? Like, and sort of keeping asking that question. It might be like, I just love to draw numbers on paper. Actually, I'd love to just cut out loads of magazines and shove them. Oh, I'd love to, you know, it would be different for everyone, but it's really getting, like, keeping asking that question and then trying to do whatever the answer is, you know, because it may not be that. I think maybe some people, when they try to paint, that they sort of have the picture of the perfect landscape, and so then they're trying to create the perfect landscape. But actually, if I really said, what do you really want, what do you really like to make, it might actually not be a perfect landscape at all. You know, it might be something really unusual, really random. It might be like, I want to paint the side of buildings with brick. I don't know. It could be anything. But I think it's trying not to sort of stick to too much of sort of like outside influence or what you see art is supposed to be.
Yeah, no, I always have this whenever I'm with my mum, who is an artist. I mean, the irony of me resisting painting when she is, you know, she is an artist and she is a painter and she works with pastels and all sorts. And her art, actually, I've watched over lockdown her art evolving so much. And she's been doing like some online courses and stuff like that. And even at her, you know, she's been painting and creating for decades. She, like, when I'm with her, it's almost like it does bring me back to that kid when I was at, you know, art club, and I feel almost like safe enough to paint around her. And I do. And the last times that I've painted, I've created work that I'm actually quite proud of, and it's always been with her. But I think there's a lot of like, oh, well, she's got the studio, she's got all the equipment, I can just like pick it up and do it. I don't have to think too hard. I don't have to make mess. There's so many resistances to it. But I just find it interesting how, how that process always goes.
Yeah. And when I started, I didn't have a studio. That came later. And I was just painting in the kitchen and trying not to get paint everywhere. And then, but in the summer, painting in the garden. And I sort of started with what I had, which wasn't very much, you know. But the other thing I'll say is that my mum's also an artist, but we are so different, and we're so different in every single way, but our work is so different as well. She likes doing things to life, you know. She's very good life drawing, the drawer. Yeah. So she draws people and landscapes, and I'm just not interested in that at all. I mean, I've done bits of it, but for me, I'm fascinated by the abstract, and by the kind of mystery of the abstract, and by the, you know, like kind of the abstract sort of work speaking back to you. And but that's just not her thing at all, and she can't really do it either. She just doesn't. She's like, I don't know how you do it. I don't. So, you know, even though we're so close, we're so different in our creative expression.
Yeah. I mean, my mum put out a still life for me to paint, and I think it was like flowers in a vase and some fruit or something, and I ended up painting a moon. So So I was like, I'm not doing this, mum, sorry. But like space, it was almost like she created the space, and then I had the freedom to just do what I wanted. Yeah. It's almost like I need permission to have the space, or have someone else hold the space, so you can just, just create.
And I think it'll be really interesting. I wonder in the future if you, and I've actually been to a workshop run by you and your mum, but I wonder in the future if you might be doing more of that, but specifically art workshops, where you're both sort of teaching as artists, but yet, because you've got such different sort of ways of working, that it could be so sort of such an enriching experience, you know, having those two different sort of approaches.
I would love that to be happening. And I think I've said to you before, and you know, now if I say it on here, I'm kind of accountable to it, but my, like, whenever I've had sort of vision, like meditations or dreams or anything about me in the future, and me like actually in kind of my life's work, like, it's always painting involved. it's always me as an artist. And I think there's probably a part of me that is like, okay, I'm not sure, I don't know what that looks like. I'm quite scared of that vision, so I'm just going to stay in my safe zone.
But do you know what, like, that's exactly the same as me. Exactly. I had the same dreams, but I had those dreams, but I was like, but it's not possible. That's just not, there's no, absolutely not possible. You know, I just,
why do we say
no
that
part
to ourselves?
I know, but I think that it's, I love the fact that you have that dream, and I think it's fascinating. And I think that there's probably some deep truth in it. So let's see what happens.
Yes, let's see what happens. Oh, okay, amazing. This has been so...
We should do a session. We'll do a session.
Yes, okay. Well, we'll book that one in.
Yeah.
So, okay, as we wrap up, I would just love to find out from you. It's something I ask all my guests. Is there any practice or anything that you are doing at the moment that's you're finding really soothing?
Really soothing. I mean, I really need silence. I've just seen a builder outside who's waiting to come in. It distracted me. I really need silence, and something I often do is I will wake up, go and like splash my face, brush my teeth, have a glass of water, and then sit in silence for 10 minutes, not even trying to meditate, not doing a guided meditation, not trying to follow my breathing, just sitting in silence. And I could do that for 10 minutes, half an hour, however long. Mm. And that to me is always enriching. And it can be any time of day, you know. But I think that's probably the most enriching and soothing thing that I can do, because it just calms everything down and sort of takes away all the outside stimulation that I can get very kind of lost in and confused by, and just brings me back to myself and I can begin listening again.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, just as we wrap up, then can you just share how people can get in touch with you if they want to get involved in your mentoring, if they want to see your artwork, where can they find you?
They can find me at my painting website is harrietholt.com. And also there you can read about my mentoring. My Instagram is at Harriet Holt. The design agency is, there's a few different domains, but hh-designstudio.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'll pop all the links into the show notes for that as well. It's been such an honor to share this space with you and to unravel all of this around creativity. I have a feeling it's kind of just a tiny piece of the jigsaw.
talk about this all day.
Yeah, exactly. But for now, I would just want to thank you for your time and for sharing with us. And
thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll be co-creating something very soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope so.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unraveling. If this has sparked your interest and you want to dive in deeper, head over to laurenbarber.co to access more resources, including blogs, meditations, and previous shows. You can also discover more about sharing sacred space with me in my group, memberships, and one-to-one offerings. I would be so grateful if you can share this episode with anyone who might need to hear the words too. And if you have a moment, it would mean the world to me if you can subscribe and leave a review on your podcasting platform. If you feel called to connect with me on a more regular basis, then please do join me over on my Instagram account at laurenbarber.co. Until next time, I wish you love and gentleness on this beautiful but sometimes chaotic journey of unraveling.